Good morning. Christ is in our midst. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First, I would say also welcome to those who are with us online. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel, it takes place on the first Holy Monday. Our Lord is preaching in the courtyard of the temple. And in just 4 days, he'll be hung upon the cross. And this parable that we just heard is called the parable of the vineyard, or some call it the parable of the vineyard, of the wicked tenants. Standing in a temple, when Jesus says these words, he's speaking to all of Israel, and he's specifically calling out the spiritual leaders of Israel, leaders of the temple. I want to take this parable a little bit apart for us so. And we can understand a little bit better than just having heard it read through quickly. God plants a vineyard. I'm going to do a little bit of what they call expository preaching, trying to take it apart. God plants a vineyard and lets it out to the tenants. And the tenants are the spiritual leaders of Israel. And the tenants are to care for the vineyard, which is God's vineyard. God owns it, not them. The vineyard here is the temple and the faithful of Israel, their spiritual children. And instead of being faithful stewards of God's vineyard, instead of simply caring for God's vineyard as they're supposed to do and delivering the fruit to God, which is the work of the church, they instead choose to steal the fruit for themselves. And when servants come to collect the fruit, the tenants beat one, stone one, kill one. And when God learns of this, he sends more servants. And these are the prophets. And then what do the tenants do? They kill them also. Then God sends his heir, his son, the heir of the vineyard. And the tenants take their heir outside the vineyard and kill him, just as Jesus was to be taken 4 days outside of Jerusalem and hung on the cross. And then our Lord sums up the parable with these words, identifying himself as the cornerstone. These words from Psalm 118, he says these words. The very stone, which is Jesus Christ, that the builders have rejected, which are the leaders of the vineyard, the tenants of the vineyard, has become the head of the corner. Christ is the leader of the corner, the head of the church. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Christ being the cornerstone of the new Israel, of the church, was prophesied all the way back to Isaiah. God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I, the Lord God, am laying in Zion," Zion is Jerusalem, "for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation, that whoever believes in him," which of course is him is Jesus, capital H, "shall not be put to shame." And so, brothers and sisters, bringing this parable up to 2023, on some level, in many ways, our Lord and Savior still remains a rejected cornerstone. And I could argue this on so many levels, but I just take one little spot here. We are made in God's image and likeness. God made us in his image and likeness. And part of our fallenness, of not fulfilling our image and likeness, is that we become kind of self-referential. And reverential, come to think of it, too. Meaning, we see things from our lens of our lives, and we impose our view on everything else. Our life experiences, our will, how we see and do things. And I mean, we see this throughout our American culture today. It's more than ever how our culture has changed in the last 20, 30 years. We see and do things only from our perspective. And what happens is here, and this is very strong preaching in a church, we make God in our own image and likeness. Do you see what I'm saying here? Unbeknownst to us, we create our own versions of God. God of our own liking. And I hear it over and over. I mean, just this past week, I was with somebody in family. Something was happening in the family, and I came and I was visiting, and somebody stopped me, started talking to me. And he was like, "I think," and his whole thing was my perspective of faith. And I was like, we don't have our own perspective of faith, you know. course, I didn't say anything. I just loved on him. I was polite. But we create God in our own image and likeness, to our own liking, and replace the true God. And I remember this preaching at seminary at a student's. We, the pagans, made their idols to worship. Israel, think about this. Israel made their own gods on top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and they're making their own golden calf at the bottom. Okay? Because we just do these things. We make our own version of God, our own idols. And because of this is the reason why we have, and I'm not slamming, but 40,000 different brands of Protestantism worldwide, okay? And I would argue that us Orthodox are not exempt from this either. It's much less today in America, but most Orthodox, and maybe it's around the world, I can't speak about this. But when Orthodox, you know, when the church was highly identified in our cult, in our country with an ethnicity, people, it was a Greek Orthodox Jesus, Russian Orthodox Jesus. Those who are so born in the faith or have been around for a long time have heard this before. And it's the outsider's perspective, Serbian Orthodox Jesus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, going to this, when I was a kid, I was baptized in a Russian Orthodox church. The church services were in Slavonic. And so I identified Slavonic being, I'm Ukrainian, but Slavonic being Russian, the language Russian, and it's because the services were in Russian, I thought, oh, God is Russian, and we need to talk in his language. See what I'm saying? That's just a child, okay? I mean, I was 16, no. But as a little, I remember thinking, God's Russian, we have to talk to him in Russian. I wish I could understand this, you know, and okay. Orthodoxy is only about being true. It's in our name. The first century church, there were heresies, not the first century, but in the first, well, there were heresies then too. But over time, there was heresies in the first few centuries of the church, meaning false teachings about who Jesus was. And so people, when they were taken, they would point to us. We identify ourselves as us. Those are the Orthodox ones. Those are the ones who are doing things without the changes, okay? So that's how we got our name, okay? So Orthodoxy is all about staying to true. So returning to this idea of cornerstones. Today, we build foundations with concrete. But before concrete, a cornerstone was laid. And it was the most important stone in the building. It was the first stone laid. And we'll talk a little bit like a contractor, excites me. You take and you put the stone down and you make your exact corner. And when you put this corner here, the stone, the building's orientation is from here. It's going to be this way, it's going to be this way, and you measure off that. And it's level and it's height. You say, okay, up from that stone, you're going to go this high. So everything was from that cornerstone, okay? And so the idea here is Christ is the cornerstone, and everything in the church must be plumbed up to that cornerstone. And Christ being the cornerstone of the church is part of the earliest, this idea here is part of the earliest teachings of the church. In Acts, after healing a crippled man, when Peter was interrogated by the chief priests, Peter identified Christ as the rejected cornerstone. He said, and this is what he's saying to the chief priest. And I mean, he's being bold, right? It says, this is the stone, meaning Christ, the rejected stone. This is the stone which is rejected by you builders. He's calling them out. The chief priest is these builders that rejected, which now has become the head of the corner. So he's quoting Psalm 118, just as Jesus did, and saying, this is Jesus, okay? He's become the head of the corner. He's become the head of the church. And then Peter expands on this in his first epistle. And these words, brothers and sisters, I'm going to bring it all together here, are an invitation to us. And Peter writes to, it's a Catholic epistle, means written to the whole church, his first Catholic epistle. Come to him. Come to Christ. To that living stone. Why is he the living stone? Because he's resurrected. This is the message of the early church, or the beginning of the church, the good news, that Christ is resurrected. Come to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. And like living stones, so he's going to call us living stones, and like living stones, be yourself, us, into a spiritual house, the church, to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And that's what we're here. All you members of the royal priesthood, and here we offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifice, meaning bread and wine, and our singing. Each and every one of us are invited, this is so important, to be living stones in the spiritual house of God, of his church. And as living stones, brothers and sisters, we plumb and we lever our lives up to the chief cornerstone, And it is done in the life of the church, through the life of the church, through living the Christian life. And this is important too. God gathers the stones. John 6:44, God the Father draws the people, right? He draws the people to Christ. And he draws together all different kinds of stones, different size stones, different shaped stones, different types of stones. And God takes, and I don't like the word cobble because that means it kind of doesn't quite fit, but interlocks them together, okay? Perfectly into his spiritual house. And that's what he does in every church community and the whole church corporately. And what holds these stones together? Contractor and me can't help it. Mortar. The mortar of the Holy Spirit. Do you see this? That we're held together by the Holy Spirit. And this mortar is acquired through prayer and through living our life in Christ. Also notice, Jesus identifies himself as the living temple, as the temple, as the church. After 3 days, after he cleansed the temple, he says, after 3 days, I will raise up this temple. Meaning his body. And the church is the body of Christ. And each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, are a part of this body. We're stones of Christ's temple. Let me close with these thoughts. What really grieves me today is the decline of faith in our land, the decline of Christianity in America. And to borrow from the spiritual metaphor from today's gospel, the church, the American church, is crumbling all around us. And we have a duty here. I really believe my vocation as a priest is a duty here. And I think our vocation as a community and our vocation as the church in this, as the Orthodox Church in this land. Back in the 80s, as Orthodoxy settled into this land, it became, I would say, in many places like our diocese, less ethnic and more American. And people like Archbishop Demetri started planting American Orthodox churches, began to see many people or people trickling into the church. It began as little ripples in the water. And you know, I remember speaking about it 30 plus years ago, saying these ripples are growing and growing and we can see them. And in seminary, as being a new priest and wanting to be successful in church planting, because I knew I was going to plant a church, I read a lot, my thesis was on it, and I had read a lot of books on church growth. And they're kind of generic books, really boring, but, and now, oh, do this and do that. And but in Orthodoxy, I learned none of those kind of stories work. There's no gimmicks. There's no magic tricks. It is simply us being the best living stones we can be. That's how we have to apply ourselves up to Christ. So to be the best living stones, that means having our lives plumbed up to Christ. And together, us being a spiritual house laid on the foundation of Christ, we together are a spiritual home for those who are seeking refuge. Everything that's collapsing around us, our whole American thing, spiritually speaking. And Archbishop Demetri, a blessed memory, was very strong about one thing. He was a great visionary, or he was really prophetic here. He was prophetic here. He was very strong about simply being the best possible Orthodox Christians we can be, and loving Christ with all our hearts and living our life in him. But also he would say this, greet everybody this way. The church is always to have open arms. That's all we're to do, just to be open arms for everybody and everyone who's seeking God's home. As a spiritual house, we're to greet everyone with open arms and offer them sanctuary and shelter for those who are seeking the fullness of faith. And we do this by us being true living stones. And this is the vocation of every person in this room. This is our calling in life, to share the gospel. And it's always living our lives plumbed up to Christ. I'm not sure who said this first. I'm going to close with this sentence, but I truly believe it. The church is the hope of the world. To Christ, our true cornerstone, be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.